Welcome back to the show. I am Dave Schrader. This is Coast to Coast AM. Our guest the last hour, Elisa Medhus, MD. She has written, co-authored a book called My Life After Death, A Memoir from Heaven. During the last hour, we talked about the many experiences where her son has made himself known to people around the world, not just her, but to followers and people that go to the blogs and so on. And of course, being a skeptical believer myself, having my own experiences, but questioning so many of the things that I hear, I'm always open to the ideas. But when you hear stories like this, sometimes they just sound so grandiose, so massive, that how could it be real? During the break, my producer back in L.A., Nathan is on. I'm alone in my studio here in Minnesota, and I've got my earphones off, and I'm jotting notes for the next segment, questions and topics that we want to cover. When behind me, I hear nobody in the studio. I am completely alone in the studio right now. A laugh and a deep sigh. What little hair I have left is standing straight up on end, so that's always intriguing. Not that it terrifies me, but what a weird experience. We also put up a video, as we talked in the last segment. One of the parts of the show that intrigued me and why I was interested in talking with these two is that they gave me a video of the medium channeling and doing a communication session. You could hear Elisa and you could see her talking back and forth as she asked questions, and then her son would respond through the medium. What I found fascinating about the video was that after Elisa would ask a question, some of the time you would hear this male-like whispering, and then the medium would begin to speak as though she was getting that message. And I thought, I must be crazy. I'm hearing something. And I played it for a number of my colleagues, and they could hear it as well. And I thought, this is something I've got to experience. I want to hear this. We've put that video up. It's on our links on Twitter, so go to @coasttocoastam on Twitter, and you'll be able to see that video link that Tim put up for us. So you can go and check it out during the breaks. Listen to it yourself. What do you make of it? I mean, of course, it could be somebody off camera. The skeptical side of me says that, certainly. But it is very interesting how she seems to not notice it. Elisa doesn't seem to notice it. They're communicating, and there's a whispery voice that seems to be feeding itself into the video as it progresses. Just things to make you go, hmm. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back when we will be joined by psychic medium Kim Babcock and Elisa Medhus, MD, the mother and co-author of the book, My Life After Death, A Memoir from Heaven. I'm Dave Schrader. This is Coast to Coast AM. All right, we are back and having an interesting discussion this evening. Stay tuned because at the opening of next hour, we will open the phone line so that you can call in and speak with psychic Kim Babcock, medium Babcock. She will help us connect with Eric. Eric will channel through, answer questions for you, so you can get some questions for yourself from the other side. Elisa, talk to me a little bit about this. You said that you worked with many mediums to make these connections and communication. How did Kim come into your life? And talk to us about your communication with your son through her.
I had an audition, or called for an audition for different mediums, and I tested several of them out here recently, and well, not very recently, but anyway, she was just so amazing and natural. I was sold. I mean, the information she gave me was just so him. She's such a clear channel. Very gifted, very, very gifted medium.
All right, so you kind of put out this cattle call for mediums to see who could communicate for you and make this connection, and she was one that stood out above the others.
That's right. I had been using Jamie Butler, who is also very good, but Jamie Butler's rebranding herself a bit, and she wants to become a spiritual teacher and not do very much of the mediumship work that she was doing before.
Okay. Well, let's welcome to Coast AM, Kim Babcock. Kim, thank you for staying up late and hanging out with us this morning.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I want to know a little bit about you and the abilities. You know, people always ask me, as the host of a paranormal radio show and filling in on Coast to Coast AM, do I really believe in Well, spiritual mediums and that kind of aspect. And I say, you know, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. I've seen and have met some mediums that just absolutely stagger me with the information, and not the generic-y stuff that you'll see sometimes on TV shows, but specific down nitty-gritty information that just reduces people to tears in moments, and profound messages and things that they're able to corroborate on site. And you watch this type of thing. When you started to realize you had these abilities, how did that affect you? I mean, did you question, how am I doing this? Where is this coming from?
Oh, absolutely. Many, many times over, I asked those questions, and it took me some time to kind of come to grips with what was happening and figure it all out. When I realized what was happening, it was shortly after my husband's grandfather passed away that I started to see him, and I saw him for a week, every single day, all day. I couldn't get this image out of my mind, and he kept showing me a pocket watch. Well, finally, you know, I broke the news to my husband, and he kind of looked at me wide-eyed and thought I was nuts. So I asked his mom, Debbie, and I said, Debbie, I know you're gonna think I'm crazy, but I keep seeing your dad, and he keeps showing me this pocket watch. Well, then she went in her bedroom and got the pocket watch and showed me, and you know, it kind of shook me a little bit because that's the pocket watch I'd been seeing. So at that moment, I realized there was something more happening, and I just started to get my hands on as many books as I could to learn about all the psychic senses and figure out what was happening. And
so this wasn't something that you had since birth. You weren't always seeing dead people.
No. I remember times when I was a young girl and I would lay in bed and stare at the ceiling and literally just see heads. The ceiling would just be a bunch of spirit heads. And it freaked me out. I didn't know what it was or why I was seeing them. And I had, you know, strange things happen around me throughout my childhood, but I didn't really have any understanding of afterlife or the spiritual realm or anything like that until my late 20s.
And then it was, once you opened it up, man, it was just there?
Yeah, it sure was. I put it out to the universe, and I, you know, there was some things happening in my life that I put it out there. I knew I was seeing what I was seeing, and I said, I don't want to see anything at all. I don't want to hear anything. And a year later, circumstances changed, and I said, open the floodgates. I'm here to help. And I got what I asked for.
Really? Okay, so it took you in there. Were you ever frightened by the things you saw? I mean, not just shocked, kind of, whoa, that was weird, but I mean, were you ever frightened by something that came through that wasn't what, you know, you would have expected, evil, I don't know what you want to call it?
I can't say that I ever was, because I made it a point from the very beginning when I opened myself up to this to stay connected to the divine, to the divine source, to God, whatever you want to refer to it as. You know, me, I refer to it as God, and anybody that I can help on the other side, if I can give them a voice or, you know, send their message to a loved one here, then use me in that way. And I always made sure that I was basically a partner with God in all of it. And, you know, so that's what brought me here. But it sure did take me some time to figure, you know, I was a skeptic of myself. I thought, no, wait a minute, where is this coming from? How is this happening? And, you know, finally after meeting stranger after stranger after stranger for readings and them being able to connect with what I was saying, I, you know, okay, I think this is proof enough. I think I believe myself. I think I believe this is happening. So took some time.
When you get those, you know, holy beep moments, when it's, you realize that you've connected to something much deeper than just the, I'm getting like a John or a James or a Jerry name. And, you know, and again, not putting people down that do that, but I do understand why there's so much skepticism to the claims of making connections. But when you do have those holy mackerel moments, what is that like? I mean, how does that feel inside? Not just pride and ego involved, but I mean, what is it like to know that you're that connected to something otherworldly?
You know, you had talked about that fear of death
right,
earlier in the show. I was listening, and you had talked about having that fear. And that's something that I've lived with also, having that fear. But when I have those moments in my readings where, you know, the sitter or the client is completely connecting with such specific things. It provides comfort knowing that there's something else there. I can't see it. I can't touch it. But it's there. I can hear it. I can connect with it. And it's a sense of comfort, for sure. And sometimes I still walk away and I call my mom and I'm like, oh my God, can you believe this? So yes, sometimes it still knocks my own socks off.
Earlier, Elisa was saying that the fact that her son kind of works as a conduit to bring other people through to the medium. Do you get that same when you're reaching out? Is it actually Eric you're speaking to, or is it your grandma going out and getting Eric and bringing Eric to you type of thing?
Yeah, no, typically it's the other way around. Eric just started showing up. You know, I have a small metaphysical shop where I do my readings, and he just started showing up without me asking for his help during my readings. And then I started to see that he would bring forth messages for the clients, or he would also bring forth people that the clients are hoping to hear from. And on a couple specific occasions, it was life-saving. A couple of clients that came in to see me were, you know, having difficulty. You know, they'd been through some tragedies in life and didn't feel like they belonged on Earth anymore, and were really resonating with what Eric went through. And Eric came through so strongly and told them directly, you know, don't take your own life. And you know, that client stood up and looked at me and he cried and he said, you just saved my life, because I had been researching, you know, ways to take my life or to end my own suffering. And, you know, Eric specifically stepped forward and recognized that and, you know, brought through somebody that he was hoping to hear from. So yeah, he definitely plays that role as a conduit.
With that in mind, you know, does it ever interrupt the message? Because again, if you're trying to connect to Bob, who has one specific way of communicating, but you're going through a translator, if you will, does it ever mess up the messages where it makes it hard for maybe the sitter to get to feel like a real connection is being made for them? Because again, if Bob speaks and has certain mannerisms, but it's going through Eric, is there something lost in translation ever?
You know, just in my experience with Eric and the spirits he's brought through and the sitters that he's connected with, it seems to be the opposite. For some reason, when Eric steps forward, there's so much more clarity. I can hear him easier. I can see him better. And, you know, if I'm having a hard time understanding the spirit on the other side, Eric steps forward and somehow just makes it clearer. I can hear them and understand them better and convey better messages to the sitter. So it just seems like he steps forward and things kind of become crystal clear.
Has that happened to you before with other spirit guides, if you will, that have come through to do this? Do they take turns and now it's Eric's turn to be your connecting help?
That's a great question. No, this has never happened. I've been doing readings for about 5 years now, and typically I always tell my clients I just sit and listen, and I convey what comes through. And I've never had, you know, there's been times where a grandmother might bring forward an aunt or another family member, but they just don't play the same role that Eric does. When he steps forward, it's like he steps in their channel. He steps in front of them. So, for example, if Bob steps forward and starts communicating and he's having a hard time, Eric will step forward in front of him, and then he'll communicate through Eric's channel, and I can hear it better. I don't know how that works, but it's pretty cool to see.
All right. Coming together and working with Elisa when this happened, how quickly and strong did Eric make his presence known to you, Kim? I mean, was it immediate that he was there, or did you have to work with Elisa for a while to kind of make that connection?
Well, it's funny because before I had met Elisa, I knew Eric was interacting. I was given the first book, My Son in the Afterlife, from a friend of mine. And I hadn't read it. It's been sitting on my shelf for months, right? And all of a sudden it falls off the shelf. So I picked it up and put it back, and I said, you know, I'll get to you, Eric, as soon as I can, I promise. Nobody home, book flies off the shelf again the second day. So I put it back, said, I promise I'll get to you. Well, then that night in the dream, he brought me the book. So I was like, okay, I get it. I'm going to pick up the damn book. So I picked up the book, read it all in the same day, and it blew my mind. So then after that, you know, fast forward a little bit, Elisa had posted on the blog how she was looking for a new medium. And so I had asked Eric, you know, to connect with me and stay with me and help me out with this audition video. And the night before, I was to Skype with Elisa. I lost power. I kept asking Eric, you know, just show me some way that you're here. So that night I lost power. I'm like, okay, cool. I get it. You're probably here. So we were out of power for about 10 minutes. Power came back on, and the time was 4:44. Well, the next day, it didn't dawn on me until halfway through the Skype session with Elisa, but the topic was, and I didn't know this previously, but the topic that Elisa wanted to talk to Eric about was the loss of power. So for him, he made it literal. I literally lost electricity in my whole house. But, you know, it was more of a spiritual, physical thing that Elisa was talking about, but I thought it was pretty cool. So, yeah,
do you ever question, I'm curious, do you ever question, though, and I'll pose this question to you first, Kim, and then to Elisa. You'd read the book, you'd read the blogs. That's what a lot of people would refer to as front-loading. You were kind of getting a taste of his personality, his ways, via the things that were already made accessible to you. Do you ever fear that it's might be more of your own personality, psyche, id, empathy that picks up on this rather than really the spirit of a dead person?
I myself don't fear that it's that front loading, because there's a feeling that comes along with it. There are times where things happen and I don't have that feeling, that same feeling, that feeling like somebody's there, feeling like somebody's with me. And Eric's personality is so so loud. It's so obvious when he steps forward. He comes so crystal clear. I know this is crazy, but I can even see the hair on his toes. Like, he comes forward so clearly when he steps forward, and it's a feeling I get. So I never fear that it's that front loading.
Because what about you, Elisa? Were you worried as you're kind of looking and putting out the cattle call for mediums and psychics to come forward? Because, you know, John J. Oliver from the show Haunting Evidence, Echo Bodine, Michael Bodine, James von Prague, John Edwards, a lot of these people don't want this much information up front because they're afraid that their personality will influence the messages and that they might get in the way of the real message. Were you ever concerned that these people had too much coming into you already?
You know, I never ever thought about it. I just, you know, I have a really good sense about people, an intuition, mm-hmm. and a really good BS meter or detector. Mm-hmm. And I could read Kim, and I knew she was the real deal. I knew she was conveying my son.
Did she give you a specific, not just kind of, wow, she's talking in his vernacular and acting like him, but did she give you specific, Mom, you've got the bonnet in your room with the bumblebee pin and Grandma gave it to you and blah, blah. I mean, was there something that would specifically be directed to you in these messages so that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this person was really making connection?
Well, no, I used to ask a lot of validating questions, but I mm-hmm. ended that a long time ago because I was just so sure that this is Eric. Same thing when Kim started channeling him. I knew it was Eric. I didn't need any validation. But he could have. I mean, I certainly could ask validating questions if I want to.
Right. Well, I was just curious of when you were starting off the process, if that was part of what you were looking for. Because, a skeptical believer myself, I would want something to say this. You know, we hear from messages, and I'm sure, Kim, you get this a lot. When people start coming through, usually they're messages of love and light, and it's something that a lot of people, and unfortunately a lot of them have, are able to fake, because if you know psychology, most people that have lost somebody just want to hear that they're okay, they love you, they miss you, and everything will be well. So, you know, that's why I said so many of the people are looking for qualifying comments. Kim Babcock and Lisa Methus are our guests this evening. We're going to continue talking about My Life After Death, a memoir from heaven, and we're going to open up phone lines next hour. You can talk to Eric yourself. If you have questions, if you want the big questions answered, tonight's your chance to get that shot. Stay tuned. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Channeling Eric. That's our topic tonight. Elisa Methus, MD, our guest, along with a psychic medium who's been working with us. Very interesting stories. Kim Babcock, she also channels Eric, and we're going to do that in the next hour. He's going to be here and work with Kim to help bring Eric through. If you have questions, we will invite you to call in at that time. If you like shows like this, if you're intrigued by the fringe of society, ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, psychic phenomena, monsters, myths, legends, and true crime, then you can join me 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Central, where you can listen to our show and stream it live from our website at darknessradio.com, based in the Twin Cities on the Twin Cities News Talk Station, AM 1130. Our show is broadcast 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight, and we do cover all of these topics. And the best part about it is right after our show, continue that live stream, and you'll be able to hear George Norrie as he continues your adventures into the strange and bizarre. Go check that out. And, of course, our archives are on our site, all the other ways to contact me. And if you have questions for our guests tonight and you'd like to pass those questions on via email, you can send that to me right now, dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. My Life After Death, a memoir from heaven, right here on Coast to Coast AM. We're 20 minutes away from the top of the hour. Phone lines are already lighting up for our guests this evening. We'll be taking those after the top of the next hour. So please be patient, stick with us, and we'll get through as many calls as we possibly can. We're going to run you through the gambit, Kim. Are you ready for that tonight?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. The Coast callers are going to be pounding you with all of these questions and great information. Now, real quickly, so that we can kind of prime people that are going to call in, is there the best way to do this? Do you need their first name, their birthday? Do you need any kind of information to kind of pick up on their vibe first so that we get the best connections we can?
Really, you know, the only thing for me, for myself as a medium, if these people have questions about themselves, usually I just ask for their first name, but that's all.
Okay, that's it. And if they want to ask Eric, is there any specific questions we should stay away from?
I think it's all fair game. I mean, Eric never ceases to amaze me with the way that he answers questions. You know, it's one of those things where you think you know what he's going to say, but he always surprises you. So yeah.
Well, let's do me one favor, folks. So stay away. We're not going to entertain the question, and we'll just disconnect you if the question is, when am I going to die? How am I going to die? That's just way too dark and weird for us to cover on the show, and I'm sure it's something that Eric probably doesn't want to deal with, or he'll screw with you and tell you, I hope your affairs are in order, and say goodbye to everybody tonight, and that'll be the message you get. So let's just avoid that one altogether. But if people have questions about their life, about their career, about their loved ones, about heaven, hell, death, afterlife, all of that's fair game.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Elisa, you're working with these different mediums. You're working with Kim on these messages. How often do you do these sessions to make these communications?
Probably once every other week for an hour. But I forgot to tell you, there was a validation with Kim. She reminded me. She said, Eric keeps talking about there's this frog. And it's like, what? You know, I don't have any frogs, whatever. So later on that day, I was watering my plants, and no water would come out of the watering can. So I thought, well, that's odd. And so I shook it, and a big frog came down the spout into the main well of the watering can. Of course, I screamed because I think those are kind of gross. But so that was it. And then she said again, at another time, it's back to the frog. And I said, well, you know, that's already played out. That's not going to happen. The frog apparently found its way back to my watering can, back into the sprinkler head. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
All right, cool. So you do get that sense of validation. Kim, I'm curious on your end. Is there ever too much when people are reaching out trying to get answers from the other side? When you run into a mom like Elisa who's doing this, do you ever feel you have to reel back and be like, you know what, it's time to focus on your life now and make your peace with whoever it is that you're constantly trying to make communication with? Let them go on about what they have to do, and now you go enjoy the rest of your life.
That's a great question. I never feel like there's too much. You know, when we're talking specifically about Elisa, this is kind of a similar question that we answered recently. With Eric, he had said, you know, you can never call on somebody too much because either they will show up or they won't, depending on their availability. But, you know, when it comes to the client, I basically see myself as a servant in this role. So if somebody is continually brought back into my path, I'm going to continue to serve them, you know, in the way that I do so through my readings. I don't limit anybody, and I don't think spirit's limited either. It's, you know, just like Eric said, really, they'll show up or they won't. So.
All right. I just wonder if people get addicted to trying to make communication. See, that would be my fear, that if I lost someone, that once I go down that rabbit hole of making communication, I'd never want it to stop.
That's true, but I've seen, I do have one client that she comes in probably once every other month, and I don't think she's addicted to having readings, but I've seen her heal through each one, and every time I come in contact with her, she's a better form of herself. So, you know, even if this goes on for a few years, I always tell my clients, it's truly based on what you need and what your heart needs. Because some people will say, you know, can I come back? Is it going to bother my husband if I come back and I want to hear from him again? And, you know, I always tell them, you know, when I sit down and tune in again, it's based on their willingness and their ability to step forward again. So thankfully, for the most part, you know, unless I'm supposed to learn from the reading, typically once I really tune in, I don't remember what comes through anyway. So it's a great way to keep it organic for me.
All right. Elisa, do you ever have the conversation with Eric? Will there be a time when you think it's time to let that conversation go? It's time to stop trying to communicate and just move forward? Or do you think that this is part of your life journey now, is to try to help others and do these type of Q&As?
I think it's part of my life journey. I just feel like we ought to continue to have a relationship with those that we love. It's not a matter of being addicted. Now, if I were to concentrate all my efforts on Eric, and this is true even if he were alive, and ignore my other four children and my husband and my friends and my dog, then that would not be very healthy. But I think it's perfectly fine to take part of your life and devote it to a person you love, whether they're alive or dead.
Okay. Because I always had the concern, you know, I was very close with my grandfather who I lost. And, you know, I've had mediums offer to do readings for me, and I always thought, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to put, hey, let him do whatever he needs to do. I figure if he has a message, he's going to find a way to get to me. And they won't have to ask. It'll just come through, and that'll be the message. But I always was afraid by opening up that door, I would need that reassurance all the time. I would need that sense. And I kind of felt like, you know, my grandfather would probably want me to just live life instead of worrying about death and, you know, and worrying about, you know, communicating with him afterwards. So that's where my concern comes in. And I get a lot of emails from people that are the same way. They're worried that they'll start focusing on death more than they do on life. And I don't know, Kim, do you see that as a medium and a psychic? When people get involved in the paranormal and they're seeking answers like this, do they ever get to the point where, you know, it's probably more debilitating for them to do this? I know you said you see a lot of healing go on, but do you ever see the other side where it just, you know, starts to break people down?
There's been times where I've seen people have to relive something horrific that they've gone through and, you know, the ways that they've lost somebody. But, you know, I really am blessed to be able to see the brighter side of it, to see more of the healing happening rather than the opposite. You know, again, that, you know, when I do this, my hope is to play the role as a servant and help bring people comfort about death and dying, but also somehow through that process, it reminds people to be awake and to truly live as much as you can. And just like Elisa said, just because somebody has passed from the physical sense, we shouldn't stop trying to have a relationship with them.
When you reach out to the other side to try to communicate with somebody, whether it's Eric or somebody else, are they just in a place of stasis? I mean, are they out playing tennis in heaven or something? I mean, where do you ever interrupt them while they're at dinner? I mean, how does that work out?
That's a great question. There's been a lot of times where they step forward, spirits will step forward with, you know, I've had women step forward in the middle of knitting and crocheting. A lot of times when Eric steps forward, he's dusting himself off. And there's other times where people are in the middle of reading. So I definitely don't think that they are just hanging out anywhere. I still think they're doing so much to continue soul development.
All right. We're going to take phone calls at the top of the hour and allow people to talk. What do you think, in your personal appearance, or in your personal opinion, rather, Elisa, have been some of the most important messages that you've gotten from your son about life and death?
Well, of course, that the relationship can continue, that's number one. But there are two things that he seems to talk about a lot. And one is the fact that we are emotional beings. Everything's made of energy, including emotion. And we are actually made of energy that is emotion. And unfortunately, the way we humans have been trained to operate is using our logical side. We think first, and then we feel second. So we'll have a thought about something and let that evoke a feeling, and those feelings will create some sort of reaction or a choice. What we should do is first feel, first tap into what you're feeling, and then let that produce a thought, and then let that thought create choice or reaction. Another thing he talks about is the importance of emotional honesty. It's so much about emotion here, but being really emotionally honest with yourself and others and how important that is.
Okay. Has there ever been a message that's come through to you that you found disturbing?
Let me see. No. No, not really. Not so far.
Okay.
I would say it like that, but no, I mean, if there's a message that that is not rosy, or he tells me, well, this is not going to work out, or that's not going to work out, then I understand the reasons behind it, so I'm okay with it. I'm pretty tough.
Sure. Well, I didn't mean that. I just mean, you know, hey, Mom, the comet's coming next week, you know, be prepared. That's what I mean by more of the disturbing, you know, notion. You get that kind of information that maybe you just, hey, that's something I didn't need to know, Eric. Thanks a lot for chiming in. How about you, Kim? Do you ever get messages from the other side that are disturbing? We always hear the love and light comments. We always hear that they're missing you and I love yous and the, you know, I forgive yous. But do you ever get the messages where the spirit says, no, I'm still pissed. I'm not happy with you at all.
Well,
and again, I don't mean with Eric specifically. I just mean in any of your communications.
There's been a few times where I don't ever come across spirit that is still pissed. I mean, they might bring up things that humans might still be upset about, but the spirit has already shed that emotion. They've already moved on from it. But there have been times where people will come in together for a reading, you know, for one just wants to be supportive for the other. You know, there's only one person that wants to hear from spirit. The other one's just there for support. A couple times this has been a girlfriend, boyfriend, or husband, wife situation. And there have been some awkward times where spirit's coming through saying they're not good for each other. You know, this is, you know, because the client will ask questions like, why am I having such a hard time? You know, why can't I just achieve happiness? And the spirit's saying, well, the relationship you're in is the problem. And that's so hard when their spouse is sitting right there. I can't, it's really hard to keep truth to spirit and still convey that without hurting somebody's feelings.
So you do edit from time to time. You won't necessarily give the answer that the spirits gave you to give.
No, I always honor what they say. In that specific case, that's happened three times that I can remember. But in that specific case, I, you know, they're pretty blunt. They'll say it like, you know, the relationship that you're in is the root of the problem. So then I might kind of reword it a little bit, still the same message, but I might say, you know, they're asking you to reflect on your love life, your personal life, your relationship, and make sure that you're finding happiness there. So I'll still pass on the same message, of course, but might sugarcoat it a little bit so it's not so dang on harsh.
All right. Do you communicate with earthbound spirits, spirits that have not chosen to go over yet, or is it specifically... And I know there are some mediums who can only talk to earthbound and some that can only talk to ones that have been there and come back. Where do you specialize?
Not typically the earthbound. The ones that I communicate with have crossed over.
Okay. And then they come back to make these messages. Do you see people that have not crossed over? Are they harder to communicate with, or are they easier because they're here?
I don't think I understand your question. People that, when you say people that haven't crossed over, what do you mean by that? Because
we hear about earthbound spirits, people that have not gone to the next level. They've elected through free will to stay.
Okay.
And haunt their house, haunt their car, haunt their lawnmower, whatever they want to do. They want to stay around that. And I often wonder, because that seems like a closer step to us in humanity. Are they easier to communicate with? Or is it harder to communicate with those people because they're more bogged down in the mire of what life is or was to them?
I don't think they're harder to communicate with. You know, in my experience as a medium, they've all come through the same to me with the same generalized message, and that is that immediately when they've passed, they've crossed over. They've been received, they've gone back and reviewed themselves, their life, connected with God. And, you know, because I make it a point as a medium to only communicate with those that are with God. And that's who I've only come across with. I've been very blessed to not have any freaky experiences. So, you know, the ones that I guess, you know, what threw me off with your question was, I feel like I've only communicated with those who've crossed over. I think everybody, maybe I'm naive, but I think everybody, when they pass, that they do cross. Some might take more time than others to process things, but I think everybody, when they pass, they cross in a certain way, you know, and then choose to come back and be more earthbound.
All right. Now, we mentioned earlier, and Elisa, you said that there is no such thing as reincarnation. There's only incarnation. But you said that your son has mentioned that you're living all of your lifetimes at once. What does that mean if you're not being... How do you live multiple lifetimes if it's not a form of reincarnation?
Well, reincarnation implies that something is happening after, you know, one life... is happening after the last life you had, but they're all occurring now. Your future, you're being a smithy in the 1600s is happening right now, just as your life in the year 4075 is happening right now. It's just like you're not focusing your attention on it. Your awareness, your consciousness is not focusing on that. You have multiple selves that are, of course, all part of your higher self, that are all living these different lives at the same time.
Wow. So it's almost like multiple personalities that exist in one form, but they're all there. And I don't mean to dismiss it, make it sound that rudimentary, but I'm just trying to give kind of a concept. So it's all going on at once, all of these different lifetimes. That might explain why people sometimes will phase out, because they might be contacting or communicating with other versions of their spirit at that moment, or why people will get these immediate visions of information that they never had before, because technically they did just in another incarnation, and that information is still available to them from wherever they've learned it before. Do you see that being a possibility, Kim?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a concept that I'm still coming to terms with, but the more and more I read about it, research about it, think about it, and connect to that possibility, the more I align with it. I mean, it makes perfect sense for so many things that we can't explain, you know, like the deja vu things, or like you said, just phasing out. Some people tend to phase out maybe more of their focus or awareness or mindfulness is leaping to another existence.
Another form of their consciousness. We have to take a break. When we come back, phone lines are open. It's your chance to talk with Eric right here on Coast to Coast AM.